to DayFM's Last Word on Health with Matt Cooper and Benelin Day and Night Tablets. 24-hour cold and flu relief. Always read the label. Ask your pharmacist for advice.
And it's time for our weekly medical spot with Dr. Dúran O'Leary, the health blogger and GP in Cork. Dúran, I want to talk to you about vitamin D, because there's been quite a lot of stuff recently suggesting, as we learn more and more about COVID-19, that if it's not something that helps prevent you from getting COVID-19, it can perhaps in some way limit the extent of the illness that you suffer as a result of getting it. What do we know about this?
So there's a lot of emerging data coming through about COVID-19 and vitamin D deficiency. And this was a trend spotted early on, that patients who have vitamin D deficiency will have worse outcomes if they're infected with COVID-19 than people who have adequate vitamin D levels. A lot of studies are showing that vitamin D deficiency is a risk factor for more severe infection when it comes to COVID-19.
And what is vitamin D?
It's a micronutrient. It's a fat-soluble vitamin. And the main function that vitamin D has, and that's been established for a long time now, is to protect our musculoskeletal system. So for strong, healthy bones and muscles, vitamin D's main function is to regulate calcium levels. So it increases our dietary calcium absorption from the gut. And it also regulates a hormone called parathyroid hormone. Parathyroid hormone, if it's too high, can actually cause bone resorption or weakening of the bones. So it keeps the parathyroid hormone level normal. So that is the main function of vitamin D. It's to protect bones from osteopenia, weak bones, osteoporosis, brittle bones. It's also really important for our muscles as well. Sarcopenia is weak muscles, and vitamin D deficiency has a role in that as well. So vitamin D for a long time has been prescribed by doctors, in particular to postmenopausal women, to protect the musculoskeletal system, to protect against osteopenia, osteoporosis, sarcopenia, which then protects these women who are postmenopausal women from falls and fractures. That's the main role of vitamin D that we've known about for a long time, and we've been prescribing vitamin D in that circumstance for a long time.
And is vitamin D deficiency common in Ireland?
It is common, and particularly in the winter months. Vitamin D is commonly known as the sunshine vitamin. So we can make vitamin D in our skin, and that's called cutaneous photosynthesis of vitamin D. We make it in response to sunshine, and that's the inactive form of vitamin D. It's made in our skin. Then it's metabolized into the active form by our liver and kidneys, into the active form that we can use to benefit our health. But in particular in the darker months, it is very common because of that lack of exposure to sunlight. And then in the context of COVID-19, with lockdown, we're indoors. We're not maybe getting out as much as we did before. So that's another potential thing to watch out for, that we're in lockdown, as well as being in the winter time at the moment now. So being mindful of vitamin D is really important.
Okay. Is it something you can just purchase over the counter without needing a prescription?
You can, and it's deemed safe for most people to take a supplement of vitamin D without actually checking their levels. We can check it on a blood test pretty easily as well, but you can discuss with the pharmacist what dose is available to you. The lowest dose available is 400 international units a day, and then it goes up to 1,000 units daily, 2,000 units daily. You can discuss what's appropriate with the pharmacist before you buy it, because you don't want to overdo it either. Everything in moderation. Too much vitamin D isn't good either. It can increase, too much calcium, puts you at increased risk of kidney stones, for example, or it can actually have the opposite effect then and cause weakening of your bones. So, just run it by the pharmacist before you buy it.
Sorry, Dúran, would that depend then on how much vitamin D you're getting through your normal diet? Anyway, what sort of foods would be rich in vitamin D that people might be eating or should be eating?
Yeah, that's a good point. So, you know, if you're getting plenty of vitamin D into your diet, maybe you don't need a supplement at all. There, you know, sources of vitamin D in the diet, oily fish like salmon, eggs, dairy. So if you're getting plenty of those into your diet and maybe you work outdoors and you know, you're actually not at risk of deficiency at all, you might not need it. So those three sources of vitamin D will all, you know, they'll all have an interplay about, you know, and feed into whether or not you actually need a supplement. So sunlight, your diet and supplements. And those are the three main sources. And balancing those to make sure that your vitamin D level is adequate is important.
A lot of people would take a multivitamin. Would you get enough vitamin D in that multivitamin if you're trying to give yourself other boosts to your immune system or to your strength?
I'm cautious about multivitamins because they can sometimes be expensive. They might not be giving you the exact dose that you need. I mean, you know, maybe you might actually be at risk of maybe you are deficient in vitamin D and there's only 400 units of vitamin D in that multivitamin. And there could also be things in there that are harming you. For example, vitamin A is something that's often included in multivitamins that isn't necessarily safe, in particular for postmenopausal women. Again, it can cause weakening of bones. I'm a bit cautious about multivitamins, as I said, because they sometimes aren't giving you the dose you need, and in addition can actually have included in them things that are causing problems.
Okay, this is very interesting. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering why there hasn't been more made of this, as in public information campaigns encouraging people to take vitamin D. It's not necessarily an expensive supplement either, is it?
Absolutely not. You know, it's, you know, freely available. And I know a lot of people talk about getting more expensive versions. And, you know, are more expensive supplements or vitamins better than the inexpensive ones? And I am not aware of any evidence at all that suggests we should be buying the more expensive one. I take vitamin D myself and I will pick up whatever is on offer at the pharmacy, or if I see it in Tesco or Dunn's, I'll pick it up there as well. So, you know, inexpensive, and you don't have to buy the most expensive one by any means when it comes to any supplement.
And it's just literally taking one tiny tablet a day, really, isn't it?
Exactly. And actually, for some people there is as well, prefer to take it in a weekly tablet. So there are higher doses as well. If you preferred, you know, if you'd rather just take it on a Saturday morning, if you're not good to remember taking things daily, some people just they don't like having to take something every day. So there are higher dose supplements available as well, that they and they're available on prescription, and you can just take them once weekly tablets, that they can be more suitable for some people. And we commonly prescribe those in people who are particularly at risk of vitamin D deficiency. You know, people, for example, like with conditions where you don't absorb fat very well, because vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. So patients, for example, with celiac disease or cystic fibrosis or pancreatic insufficiency, night shift workers are also at increased risk of deficiency because of, you know, they're not getting out. They're not getting outdoors. They're not seeing the sunlight. People with kidney and liver problems, they're not metabolizing vitamin D properly. They're also at increased risk. And people with darker skin as well are at increased risk of deficiency. So just be keeping an eye out for those groups and making sure that they're, you know, they're getting their supplement.
Of course, it's not really important. This time of year, Dearan. It's a nice, bright, sunny day in Dublin here today. I don't know how it is for you in Cork, but of course, people are always worried about skin cancer and excessive doses of sunlight, obviously later in the year rather than now. But is there a happy medium to be found in that if you start lathering yourself in suntan cream at that time of year, are you negating the potential to take in beneficial vitamin D?
Well, it's a nice bright sunny day in Cork as well. But the advice about vitamin D and sunshine and sun exposure is that you must still wear your SPF, because you must still wear it because you don't want to increase your risk of skin cancer. So I would never advise anybody to go out unprotected, putting their skin at increased risk of skin cancer. So the advice is that, you know, casual exposure to sunlight is enough to get that cutaneous photosynthesis of vitamin D that you need. The advice is not to stop wearing sunscreen. You know, obviously, skin cancer is really serious, and you need to protect protect your skin from the sun. And you can actually still make some vitamin D in the skin, even when you have SPF on. And interestingly, sunburned skin or damaged skin doesn't actually effectively make vitamin D. So you're not doing yourself any favors by going out under the sun or under the sky without protecting your skin. Wearing SPF is still the advice.
Okay, we're not saying that this is a way to cure COVID-19. We're not suggesting it's a way to avoid getting COVID-19. But there is evidence to suggest that if you do have a sufficient levels of vitamin D in you, that it might act as a protection against getting a more serious case of COVID-19. Thank you very much, Dr. Dermot O'Leary, for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
Today FM's Last Word on Health with Matt Cooper and Benelin non-drowsy chesty coughs. Gets to work fast. Always read the label.